Blog Talk Radio.
What a glorious night to be able to sing about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Renee. We're a harbor for those who are lost. And sometimes it just isn't easy bearing Calvary's cross. We've been ridiculed by those who don't know Him, and mocked by those who don't believe. And I love standing up for my Jesus, for the all that He's done for me. That's why I am not ashamed of the gospel.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wow. That was Damaris Carver singing I'm Not Ashamed of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Last Sunday night, we had Janet Parshall singing it, and then tonight we had another version of it. But I want to greet everyone who's listening to Reaching Out Radio tonight and say also that I'm also not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Amen. And so we're continuing our study tonight in the Gospel of John, as we're also taking a look at some of the other Gospels. But again, tonight specifically, I believe we're going to just stay in the Gospel of John just for a little bit tonight. We're going to stay in the Gospel of John. So I want to welcome all of our listening radio audience from around the world. Thank God for you. Thank God for those that are listening in the United States of America and in Canada, in Mexico, in Europe, in South America, Central America, Asia. We're so grateful for all of you in Australia. In Papua New Guinea, a big shout out to you listening from there, listening from Asia, in the country of China and India. We want to thank God for you in Japan and the Philippines. Thank God for all of you that are listening. Indonesia, praise God for you. So we're going to continue what we've been doing for the past couple of Sunday nights, and that's going into the Gospel of John specifically. We're going to also look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but we're going to put the emphasis on the Gospel of John. And as we talked about before, the Gospel of John is very, very different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And if you would like to listen to the previous broadcast, you can always listen on demand by going to Reaching Out Radio and listen to, just go on our link there, Blog Talk Radio, Reaching Out Radio, and look for the Sunday night edition of In the Word with Sister, and you'll be able to get the previous broadcast. Okay, so tonight, let's take a look at John chapter 1. I'm actually going to read from the gospel according to the apostle John, and we're going to read. And we're going to pray first. So let's just go to the Lord in a word of prayer, thanking him for his goodness and believing him to just open up our understandings, touch the speaker tonight, which is yours truly. We know that the word of God is already anointed, does not need for me to add anything to it. Certainly not, but we want to look at God's word and see what we can glean from the word of God. So I just pray for each of us that are involved in tonight's session, for those of you listening and for yours truly as I'm presenting. Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name that's above every other name that can be named, the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you. We exalt your name on high. Thank you, Lord God, for our evangelist Montel Fields and the Fields family that produces these broadcasts. We ask you to continue to shine your light and your love upon them, that they will be strengthened to continue the work of the ministry that you've called them to, especially Evangelist Montel. Lord God, just strengthen her, encourage her heart, continue to use her in this wonderful radio broadcast ministry, Lord God, and all of her radio broadcast hosts and hostesses that she invites to join in the ministry with her, such as yours truly, just as one of many. God, I pray that you'd bless each and every one of them as they come on in their particular day and time to just share the word of God with those that would listen, Lord God. We pray for hungry hearts, that they would be fed and ministered to in the spirit of God, and that we all would be drawn closer to you, Lord God, especially as we're presenting tonight. We pray, oh God, that you would bring illumination to our minds and our hearts. Lord God, our desire is to be more like Jesus at the end of the day. And we pray, oh God, that you would just to us, bread of life, help us, Father, to be able to understand everything that you want to make known to us tonight or whenever we happen to be listening to this broadcast In Jesus' name, be honored and glorified in everything that's said and done. Amen and amen. So we're reading from John chapter 1. And I just want to remind all of you that are reading along with me that when we talk about the Gospel of John, that's the fourth book in the New Testament. We start out in the New Testament with the Gospel of Matthew, then Mark, Luke, and fourthly, John. So John is the fourth book of the Gospels. There's four Gospels, and so John is the last one. And that's very different from the letters of John that's much closer to the book of Revelation near the end of the New Testament. So we have the first epistle, second epistle, and third epistle of John. That's different. So if you're looking along with me, please go to the Gospel according to the Apostle John, chapter 1. Reads like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light that was sent to bear witness of that light, that there was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So I just read from verses 1 through 12 of the first chapter of the Gospel of John. We may go on further than that, but let's just see how far we can go with that. So let's go back to verse 1. Now, when we study the Gospel of John, as I said in our previous broadcast, it's very different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. First of all, in Matthew and Luke, we have the genealogy of Christ given to us. One of them starts out with the genealogy according to Mary. And then in Luke, we have the genealogy. In Matthew, we have the genealogy according to Joseph, which became something like was not his biological father, certainly not. But he was the man that God appointed to be the husband of Mary. So I can kind of say that was his stepfather. And certainly the man that was responsible under God Almighty to be the caretaker, the male caretaker of Jesus. And so in Matthew, we get the genealogy according to Joseph's line. But in Luke, we get the genealogy according to Mary's line. So in John, there is no genealogy, just as also in Mark, there is no real genealogy. And the emphasis for John as he's writing the gospel is for us to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. It is so very clear. And it starts out with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now that reminds me of another scripture, but it's in the New Testament this time, found in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. And this reads like this. In the beginning, God created the heaven, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So that's Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, but I previously read from John chapter 1. So it's very, very similar in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. That's the gospel according to John. But in Genesis, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. So John, the apostle, starts out that in the very beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was actually God. Now, if you go, or you even allow one of these people that would knock on your door, the Jehovah's Witnesses, if they come to you, they will tell you a completely different gospel. They will tell you that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a small g God. That is very much in error. And they changed the Word of God to suit themselves. But the truth of the matter was that in the beginning was the Word was with God. In other words, it was God who spoke the Word so that you and I could come into reality. He created us. He spoke the world into existence. He made the very world that we are living in. He created the heaven and the earth. So that's very clear. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, the same was in the beginning with God. So, who is this talking about? The same was in the beginning with God. Well, we're going to see that in just a little bit. All things were made by him. So the one who is called the Word, everything of nature that was made by him, was made by him. And this Word was in the very beginning with God. And the Word says that this Word created everything that we see in nature, the heaven, the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, the air, the sea, all of the waters, the birds, all of the fish, all of the animals, and every living thing was created by him. All things were made by him. Verse 3, and without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, I'm going to cheat just a little bit. In the beginning, I read from verses 1 through 12, but now I'm going to shoot down to verse 13 and 14. Let's go back to verse 12. But as many as received him, meaning the Word of God, and meaning that God is the Word, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So this one that the Word of God speaks as of the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So we clearly see that the Word, capital W, not small w, but in this context, capital W, meaning the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Word was made flesh and lived and resided and came to dwell among us, meaning humankind, men, women, boys, girls. The Word was made flesh and dwelt and lived among us. So, this is very clear. We're talking about Jesus. And I want to say something so that everybody can understand. This is the reason why we are called Christian. And this is what separates us from those that would be of the Catholic faith. Because they will call Mary, the mother of God. We would not call Mary the mother of God. We will call her the mother of Jesus. Why? Because this word that was made flesh and dwelt among us was fully God, yet fully man. Let me repeat that. Jesus was fully God as he walked upon the earth. However, he was also fully man. So what am I saying? Before he came in the flesh and dwelt among us, he was already God. Before Mary was born and created of her parents, he was already God. Before her earthly husband was created, Joseph, Jesus was already God. He was already God. He was already God. So I've said it for three times. God came to dwell among us when he came in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But remember that he was already God. So God became flesh and dwelt among us. So he was God before there was ever anyone named Mary. He was already God. He was already God. And that's the difference. We call Mary the mother of Jesus because Jesus was only known to us when he came to the earth. Before that, he was dwelling in the heavens with his Father as God. We believe in one God in the person of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it says in verse 2 of John chapter 1, the same was in the beginning with God. There is no mention God the Father having a wife. That's not in scriptures. He is not like us. God is not to be compared to an earthly man or an earthly woman. All that we read about in scripture is the Godhead. We do not read about anyone being a female creating God. So let's just get that clear understanding so there is no confusion. Again, I read verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And this Word, all things were made by him. All things, including Mary and every other person that was born upon the earth, all made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So again, Jesus was not a thought of Mary. Jesus was not a creation of Mary. But instead, Mary was a creation of God. Amen. And she was very honored of God to be the chosen vessel that Jesus would come through by the inspiration and the anointing and the special covering of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the light shineth in darkness. So when Jesus came to dwell among men, he was a light shining, and the light, not merely a light, but he was the light that shined in the darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. Men and women that were living apart from God did not understand that he was God in their midst. Then verse 6 shifts and talks about now another man. There was a man sent from God. His name was John. Now, let me also clarify. When it says that there was a man sent from God whose name was John, this is not talking about the author, John, that wrote this gospel. Not talking about the apostle John that walked those 3 years with Jesus Christ like the other 11 apostles. This is talking about John the Baptist. In verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And actually, in the natural, in the physical realm, John the Baptist was the cousin of Jesus. And we'll explain that later on as we go into some of the other Gospels. The same came for a witness. This John the Baptist that's being mentioned in verse 6 came for a witness. He came to bear witness of the light. Who was the light? With a capital L, Jesus Christ. He came to, this John the Baptist came for a witness, or came as a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through this Jesus Christ would believe. He was not the light. John the Baptist was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. So John the Baptist was not, I repeat, was not that light, but he was sent to be a witness, and a one that would testify and bear witness of that light. And who is the light of the world? And who is the light of the world? The Lord Jesus Christ. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, Jesus. This is talking about Jesus in verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So here you have a picture of Jesus in verse 10. This is being described by the Apostle John, how Jesus was in the world was made by him. Everything that was around was made by him. I'm talking about the natural things, the air, the land, the sea, the skies, the sun, the moon, the stars, and the world knew him not. So when Jesus came to dwell on the earth and walk the streets of Bethlehem and Jerusalem and Judea and different Galilee and all these places, the world really did not know him. Then it says in verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. What does that mean? Who was his own? Well, if you remember, in the first book of the Bible, in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, the first book, talks about how God was going to bless his servant Abraham. And through Abraham, all the different peoples of the world would be blessed. But Abraham and his descendants became known as the Jewish people, as the Israeli people. He came unto his own. So when Jesus came to live as a man upon the earth, born through the Virgin Mary, Mary was a married woman later on, but at that point she was unmarried, engaged to Joseph, promised to be Joseph's wife, but even before they could marry, she became with child supernaturally, because of the Holy Spirit hovering over her, and she gave birth to Jesus as he came to live as a man upon the earth, fully man, but fully God. Amen. He came unto his own. Now, when he came, he was born into a Jewish family. So when it says in verse 11, he came unto his own, he came and was born among the Jews. But his own, many of the Jews, not all of the Jews, and you'll see as we explain that in the coming weeks ahead and months ahead, he came unto his own, and his own, many, many, many of the Jewish people did not receive him. And how can I say this so quickly, even before we get into deeper teaching later on? Well, all of the apostles were Jewish. So obviously, they did receive him. They did receive him as the Christ. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. So most of the Jewish people did not receive him as being who he really was. But he said that as many as received him, John is telling us, as many as received him, as many as would receive Jesus Christ, to them, God gave them power to become the sons of God. even to them that believe on his name. Now, this Gospel of John is critical, and that's why I'm really starting and emphasizing on the Gospel of John, because the Gospel of John tells us very clearly that he gave power to those that would believe him, that he is the Christ, that he is the Messiah. And to everyone that would believe that he is the Christ, that he's the Messiah, he gave them power to do what? To become the sons and the daughters of God. Wow, the sons of God. So in other words, not everybody is automatically a son or a daughter of God, but to those that would believe in Jesus Christ, to those that would put their faith in Jesus Christ, those are the people that he gave power and he gives power to become his children. Amen. Not just anybody, not just everybody, but to those that would put their faith in Christ. If you read even in the last book, which was also written by the apostle John, the book of Revelation, you will find that the first category of the people that will not make it into the kingdom of God are the unbelieving. So it is critical that everybody believes in God, because if we don't believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we will not have the power to become the sons of God. We will not be his children. We cannot take part in everything that he has for us. We cannot take part in eternal life. So it's very, very important that we believe. I want to read this again very clearly for us. Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even, here goes the emphasis now, even to them that believe on his name. So without believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I cannot become a child of God. I don't know where people get this from, that we can believe in whatever we want to believe and we are his children. No, that's not true according to Scripture. You and I cannot just believe in whatever and whoever we want and think that we're going to be with God. It's just not reality. It's just not the truth. We have to put our faith and our confidence in Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's go back. Verse 13. These people that believe in Jesus Christ, even on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So it is God that makes us born again as his children. Now, when we get to John chapter 3, we're going to explain and see more clearly what it is to be born again. But let's just go a little further. We're going to repeat verse 14. Now, and the Word was made flesh. Jesus Christ, this is talking about, dwelt among us, as we said before, and we beheld his glory. So before Jesus came on the earth, no one was allowed to really see God. Nobody really saw God face to face. But now, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. His glory. What does glory mean? Glory talks about the heaviness, the weight, the importance, the significance. We beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is why Jesus had said to one of his disciples, well, actually, many of them that were listening to him at one point, he said, have I been with you so long and you did not know who I was? He's God. John chapter 15, I mean, verse 15 of chapter 1, excuse me, John 1:15. John bear witness of him. Bear witness of him means what? John the Baptist bear witness of Christ. And he cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." In other words, Jesus is who is all important. John the Baptist was just pointing to Christ. He was not the Christ. He was pointing the way to Christ. In verse 16, "And of his fullness all have received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses. This we received in the Old Testament. God gave the law to Moses, his servant. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." I want to stop here and explain that just a little bit, not in full depth. I don't really believe anybody can understand the full depth of this, but certainly Bible scholars would understand a lot more than your Sister Pearl does. I've been studying the Word of God for some time. I would not call myself, you know, a Bible scholar, but I would call myself a student of the Word of God. And I've been a student of the Word of God for many, many decades now, and I'm thankful to God for that privilege. I've been also blessed to be a teacher of the Word of God. So from my understanding of the Word of God, I want to just talk a little bit about verse 17. "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Now, when you get the Levitical law that was given to God's servant Moses for his people Israel, we see that the law was good, but it was very, very difficult to follow every little part of the law without sinning, without breaking it, without displeasing God. But now when Jesus comes on the face of the earth, and we see now God in the flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ, Jesus came with grace and truth. That came through Jesus Christ. So when a man or a woman puts their faith and confidence in what Jesus has done for us on the cross of Calvary, and we're going to talk about that again later on as we continue to examine the scriptures, when Jesus died in our place on the cross, and let me just say what I mean by that, you and I deserve the penalty of death. And you might say, well, why is that? Because you and I have sinned against God. Every man born of a woman, except for Jesus Christ, has come in as a sinner. We were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, the Bible tells us. Our very character is to sin, is to go away from God and do the things that displeases God. And that's how come we need a Savior. That's how come we need Jesus. That's how come Jesus was born differently than we were. When God came to the earth and wrapped himself in human flesh, he was not born through the regular way that everybody else was born. He was not the product of a man and a woman being intimate in a sexual relationship, and then, you know, we're conceived and come forth. No, Jesus was the only one that was conceived of the Holy Spirit. He had no earthly father. There was no sexual union that took place to conceive Jesus Christ. Jesus, like I said before, was already God. He was God in the very beginning, and actually he has no beginning and he has no end. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is everything. Everything. He's the middle. He's everything. So Jesus could be the only one to die on the cross to pay the penalty for my sin and for your sin, because he himself knew no sin. He was sinless. He was without sin. And so John the Baptist was bearing witness and giving testimony that this is the Christ, this is the Messiah that the Jewish people had been looking for years. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So when you and I could not, you know, fulfill every last, you know, dotting of an I and crossing of a T when it came to observing the law, we could do the best. Our ancestors did the best that they could. I'm talking about by faith, our spiritual ancestors. They did the best they could by following the law of Moses. We talk about the Jewish nation. They did the very best they could, but they couldn't always follow every last thing. And so they would always remain guilty at some point. They would remain guilty of failing to follow the full measure of the law. But now Jesus fulfilled the law on our behalf. So Jesus also, because part of the law is that when you sin, you must pay the penalty for that sin, which results in death. So Jesus Christ took our place, came on our behalf, and took death, the death penalty that belonged to you and belonged to me. He took the penalty for our sin upon himself. In other words, it's like if we were going to be executed on a particular day because we were found guilty of sin, and we would have to pay for that sin with our very lives. It's like the day of our execution, the warden would come to our cell to get us. We would follow him down the aisle thinking that we're going to the execution chair or whatever way they were going to kill us, and thinking that that would be the last that we would be alive. And yet, instead of going to the place of execution, the warden would tell us, you've been made free. You can leave the prison. You're not going to be killed. You're going to be set free, and you can return home. Someone else has taken your place. Someone else has died in your place, so that you do not have to pay the penalty for your sin. Somebody else has done that. And that somebody else, my Dare Thing Radio audience, is no other person but the Lord Jesus Christ. None other than Jesus, who took the penalty for my sin and your sin. Hallelujah. He took that upon himself. And he's the only one who was worthy enough to be able to pay the penalty for that great sin. He was the only one that was sinless, without sin. The only blood that could be shed that was spotless and blameless was the blood of Jesus. And so because of Jesus, now we've been given grace, truth through Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So when you see Jesus, you see God. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? Meaning, who are you? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. That's what John the Baptist said of himself. I am not the Christ. So I'm pointing the way to Christ. That's what John the Baptist was saying. But I'm not the Christ. So it's very clear. And just as John the Baptist pointed the way to Christ, that is a word that all of us should always remember. Sister Pearl is not the Christ. You that are listening, as many of you that love God and you spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, always remember, you're not the Christ. You're just a child of God sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and pointing men and women to Christ. Some people, a few people that have lost their way, got carried away and started assuming that they themselves were Jesus Christ. No, they're not. There's only one Jesus, and we're not it. Jesus already came on the earth. He already paid the price for my sin and your sin, and he has returned to live forever with us. He is not walking the earth again, as some people falsely claim. Falsely claim. But we need to say what John the Baptist has said in verse 20. He confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him in verse 21, what then? Are you Elias? He said, I'm not. Art thou the prophet? He answered, no. Verse 22, they said unto him, well, who are you? Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. So when Jesus walked the earth, there was two groups, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Two groups that always like to see what they were, two very strict religious Jewish, they were like two different sects among the Jewish people. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, we'll talk a little bit about them at another Sunday night, but they always were the religious crowd that would try to see how they could trip Jesus up, how they could trip his followers up. They were always looking for some excuse to see how they can say something negative about Christ or about the followers of Christ. They were looking to see how they could trip, in this particular passage of scripture, they could trip up John the Baptist. And so in verse 25, they asked him, the Pharisees did, why baptizest thou then? So why do you baptize? If you're not the Christ, why are you baptizing? And you know, you're not, you said you're not Elias or Elijah the prophet. You're not Christ, and you said you're not even a prophet. So then what? Who are you? What are you doing? John answered them in verse 26, and he said, I baptize with water, but there's standing one among you whom you do not know. He it is who comes after me. He's preferred before me, whose shoes and the lace of his shoes even worthy to unloose. I'm not even good enough. I'm not even worthy to unloose or untie his shoelaces. Wow. And in verse 28, it reads like this. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. All of this that we just read about in John chapter 1, let's see, verse 15 to verse 28, that was talking about John the Baptist as he was baptizing people, a baptism of repentance, okay? Because at that time, Jesus Christ had not yet gone on the cross of Calvary and given his life as a ransom, or given his life to redeem mankind yet. But John was already baptizing people for the remission of their sins, because he was doing that until the time that Jesus Christ would come now and take away the sin of everyone that was on the earth if they put their faith and confidence in him. And so I want to read again verse 28. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, to that day, when John the Baptist actually saw Jesus come in his midst, Jesus actually came and walked in his presence. Before that, John was baptizing all those people that were preparing to meet the Messiah when he would be coming on the face of the earth. And that particular day, it says in verse 29, John sees Jesus coming unto him, and then John the Baptist witnessed in his spirit, wow, this is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. This is the one I've been talking about that was going to come, and he is the Messiah. Verse 30, This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Verse 31, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. So here goes Jesus that came to the water to be baptized like everybody else. And when Jesus came, John the Baptist saw the Spirit of God coming from heaven like a dove and resting upon, just above the head of Jesus. Verse 33, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me. In other words, John the Baptist heard from God the Father, this man that you see coming before you, he is the Christ. So John the Baptist got a revelation from God the Father that this one that you see coming right now, he is the one that you've been waiting for. Upon him thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Verse 34, and I saw, and I bear record that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day, after John stood, two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. So, actually, John now begins to see Jesus walking toward him. And he witnessed that, wow, this is the Lamb of God. This is the Lamb of God. How did he know? Because God told him how he was going to recognize Jesus. He was going to recognize him by seeing the Spirit of God descending, coming from heaven like a dove, and just being right above him, right above the presence of where Jesus was standing. And so the next day, in verse 35, it says, after John stood, and with two of his disciples, two of John the Baptist's disciples, he saw Jesus coming to him. And he said, wow, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Verse 38, then Jesus turned and saw them following, and they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where do you live? Verse 39, he said unto them, come and see. Come and see. I'm going to stop there, and we're going to go over this a little bit again next Sunday, God willing. But I really want to stop and just ask God to help us to understand that Jesus is the Christ. I know that we hear from Oprah Winfrey and from many other people these days that we live in that there's all kinds of people that can save us, and there's all kinds of ways that we can come to God the Father. But I just want to say very clearly to all of our listening radio audience on Reaching Out Radio, there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. And nobody else is the Christ. Just as John the Baptist said clearly, when people saw him baptizing in the water, they asked him, the Pharisees asked him, well, are you the Christ? Are you the prophet Isaiah returned, or the prophet Elijah returned, or are you a great prophet? He said, no, I'm none of those people. I'm none of those people. I'm just a witness that God has raised up to point the way to the Christ, and the Christ meaning Jesus Christ, the only true Messiah. So there is no other. It's only Jesus. And remember, we learned that Jesus was the Word, is the Word, and the Word became flesh. The Word was God. And then verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and lived among us. So when the disciples and all the people that lived in the time of Jesus, if they were fortunate enough, blessed enough, to see Jesus as he walked and he talked and he preached and he healed and he delivered and he set free. They were looking upon the face of God, fully God, yet fully man. He bore witness to his heavenly Father, and he himself is God. And so this is why the Gospel of John is very different, because he emphasizes that we must believe. We must believe. We cannot even be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ unless we believe in Jesus Christ. Why? Because it's only through Christ that we have life everlasting. And again, we're going to learn this as we study the Gospels of Jesus. It's only through Christ, and only the Gospel of John makes this very, very clear and emphasizes that. It's only in the Gospel of John that tells us that he is the way. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, he is the way. He is the life. He is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Clearly, it's Jesus and only Jesus. Nobody else but Jesus. It's not a woman. It's not another man. It's only Jesus. It's only Jesus. Heavenly Father, there are no words that we can say thank you for coming in the person of Jesus Christ, coming to the earth that was full of sinful people like me and like our listeners. Lord God, all of us were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. All of us deserve the penalty of death. But you were willing to leave your throne in glory and come and live among us and give your life as a sacrifice for us so that we might have relationship with you. God, help me to bring this out as you help me to share this word with the people that are listening, that you are a great God, that you are a loving God, that you are a God that has our best interests at heart, and you have a great, great life for us if we would only believe in you. God, help every man and every woman, every boy and every girl listening to this radio broadcast to put their faith and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us, O God, and help us to know you, whom to know is life eternal. God, use this broadcast as a vehicle, as one of many, many vehicles, saves and sets free and delivers men and women today and sets them on the way to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to share just a little portion of the Word of God tonight through the Gospel according to John chapter 1. The Lord bless you. We at Reaching Out Radio, we love you very much. Until we meet again, be blessed and be a blessing. Bye-bye.